This is KBNF Regional News for Tuesday, July 15th. I'm Patricia Naft. A new bus service run by a Colorado nonprofit will start offering rides to people in the western part of the state today. KBNF's Laura Palmisano has more.
Greyhound had a route that ran from Durango to Grand Junction, but the company ended the line about 3 years ago. The Southern Ute Community Action Programs, better known as SUCAP, decided to resurrect the line with the support of the state. Peter Tregillis is the program's developer for the nonprofit.
Roadrunner stage lines will operate daily service starting in Durango, and the other towns along the route are from south to north: Mancos, Cortez, Dolores, Rico, Telluride, Placerville, Ridgeway, Montrose, Delta, and Grand Junction.
Tregillis says the bus will make one round trip a day and a one-way ticket costs $40, but the price is prorated based on your destination.
For instance, if you are going from, say, Montrose to Telluride, that would be $22.
Tregillis says SUCAP estimates the program will cost $400,000 a year to operate.
The purpose of this is to make sure that people in the rural areas have ground transportation connection alternatives besides airfare and driving your own car. That means that you can hook up to the rest of the national Greyhound system. You can get to Denver, you can get to Las Vegas and Los Angeles, or any other place across the country.
He says SUCAP is working on a website where people can purchase tickets and expects it to be online in the coming weeks. For now, people can find fare information and a schedule at sucap.org. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
Public transportation is a big issue on the Western Slope, with plans for bus lines being hammered out by different cities and organizations. The Colorado Department of Transportation is planning to start a bus route that runs from Denver to Glenwood Springs early next year, with a possibility to run to Grand Junction. This is all happening as the National Highway Trust Fund is set to run out of money in the next few weeks. The White House, along with several senators, including Colorado's Udall and Bennett, are pushing for a bill that would fund highway maintenance until next year. According to the White House, 17% of Colorado's roads are in poor condition and 17% of bridges are structurally deficient. Hunters could face a tougher lottery this fall. KVNF's Jake Ryan has the story.
Mule deer populations across Colorado, and specifically western Colorado, are continuing to decline. This is Joe Lewandowski with Colorado Parks and Wildlife.
Yeah, overall in western Colorado in the past 5 or 6 years, we've seen a decline in population. We're not exactly sure why. There is no silver bullet, but we think it's a combination of factors. Number one is development in winter range, housing, agriculture, grazing, oil and gas development. The winter range is really the limiting factor for deer populations.
Joe says that summers are fine for the deer. They can roam up to the high country where there's plenty of space and food, but when the winter comes and brings deep snow to the high country, they recede back downhill. They concentrate in this winter range and tough it out.
And they browse primarily on sagebrush, and it's very high in nutrition, and there still are a lot of areas in Colorado with sagebrush, but because they are at lower elevations, there's competition really between wildlife and, you know, housing development, and there's oil and gas development in the sagebrush. We've got some grazing going on in these areas. The bottom line comes down to, how do we improve the habitat that mule deer utilize?
He says that there are a number of different plans of attack to bring the population back up. Most of their methods are long-term and slow, but some of their actions, like hunting licenses, can be started right away.
Well, next year, hunting licenses for deer have been dialed back significantly. There will be about 80,000 deer licenses that will be issued this year. And going back to 2007, we had 130,000 licenses issued. So, that's one of the ways to help a population is dial back the licenses a bit, give more of those animals a chance to breed successfully, have their young come up, and take the pressure off them a little bit.
Lewandowski says that with 400,000 mule deer in Colorado, it's still a healthy population, but biologists aren't thrilled with the downward trend.
You know, Colorado Parks and Wildlife is taking this very seriously. With wildlife, it's not a simple answer. It's not a short-term answer. That's something that can be, you know, fixed in a year or two. This is, you know, this is probably a 20-year project.
After taking public comment this spring, the agency will be hosting a summit early next month to draft an official plan. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Incumbent Senator Mark Udall and his Republican challenger Cory Gardner are already raising millions of dollars in what's expected to be one of the most expensive U.S. Senate races in the country. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Udall's campaign announced that they've raised more than $3 million for the second quarter and that the Democrat has nearly $6 million cash on hand. Meanwhile, Gardner, who entered the race in February, raised nearly $3 million in the second quarter. Colorado State University political science professor Kyle Saunders says this year it will be more important than ever for campaigns to energize voters.
The problem is that this is a midterm election. Because there is no presidential election this year, this is much more of a partisan election. Therefore, it's about mobilizing your team.
Outside groups are also pumping millions of dollars into the race. Colorado's U.S. Senate race is being closely watched nationally because the GOP needs to pick up 6 Senate seats to capture control of the chamber. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Embattled El Paso County Sheriff Terry Makita will not face a recall election in November. KRCC's Andrea Chalfin reports.
Organizers of the effort had until 1 o'clock Saturday to turn in the more than 44,000 signatures needed for the recall. Randy Stagner was one of the petition coordinators. He told the Colorado Springs Gazette they'd collected more than 48,000 signatures. Stagner said the group wasn't confident they'd pass the verification process, though, so they decided not to submit the signatures instead of using taxpayer money to verify the names. The embattled sheriff faces allegations of misconduct, including sexual discrimination, budget mismanagement, and creating a hostile work environment. The sheriff has repeatedly said he won't step down. The state constitution prohibits another recall attempt since Makita's term ends in January, which is in within 6 months. For KRCC News, I'm Andrea Chalfin in Colorado Springs.
That was the regional newscast from Community Radio KVNF. And at our community radio station, we want you to participate. If you have a story idea or a news tip, feel free to give us an email at news@kvnf.org. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned for Chase and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.